Assalamualaikum, you're listening to The Evolve Show with myself, Omar, and...
Mo. Sorry, go on, guys.
Nabeem from HMC.
Yes.
Hassan from HMC.
And
Osman.
Okay, mashallah. Thank you very much for joining us, guys.
Thank you very much for having us on your show this wonderful evening in Birmingham.
Thank you very much. So you guys are from Leicester, right?
I'm from the brighter side of light.
Okay.
In Leicester.
Yes.
My colleague Hassan is here from the darker side in Birmingham.
Fantastic. So as I mentioned before the show, inshallah, we're going to be talking about everything sort of halal related and food related, inshallah. I know that it's a big topic, and I'm sure that a lot of people have different things to say about this particular subject. So if you want to get involved, then please do call in on 0121 772 8892. That's 0121 772 8892. Again, this show is nothing without your input. It's all about issues that affect our community, so please do get involved, inshallah. Okay, so first of all, can you please just introduce yourselves in terms of perhaps your role within HMC?
Yeah, so my name is Nadeem, and I head the operations on behalf of HMC.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, I've been with the organization for several years and have seen many an issue within the halal sector over
okay.
my time.
Fantastic. Yes.
So I my name is Hassan. I work as the marketing manager for HMC.
Yes.
I've been with HMC for about 18 months.
Okay. Mashallah, enjoying it?
Absolutely, loving it.
Good.
It's just flown. The time has flown.
Mashallah.
It just felt like yesterday Nadeem was interviewing me, you know?
Yes. Yes, and then now I'm here interviewing you.
Yeah, exactly.
Subhanallah. Fantastic. So for those who haven't heard of HMC, can you tell us sort of in a nutshell, you know, what's HMC all about?
So HMC stands for the Halal Monitoring Committee. The organization started back in 2003.
Yeah.
And it was at the back of a lot of food fraud that was being reported in the media.
Yes.
And the scholars of Leicester sort of looked into these discrepancies, and they sort of did a lot of R&D in the halal food supply chain.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a program called The Chicken Run, which was aired, I think it was by the BBC in one of their programs. I think it's The Panorama.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And they were investigating water being injected inside of chickens. So the Trading Standards ultimately got involved, and they were investigating food fraud.
You know, for those who don't know, why would somebody want to inject chicken with water? What's the benefit?
So ultimately, if you inject the water inside the meat, you're ultimately paying for water and not meat.
So it makes the meat look plumper and fuller. And
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. So they started to investigate this. And it transpired that a lot of this meat was ending up in the halal market in London. And one of the biggest issues was, apart from adulteration of, you know, not being what it was supposed to be, the water was, the meat was also being injected with pork enzymes and beef enzymes, which
unbelievable.
Is from a halal dietary requirement has a massive, it has huge concerns. And the repercussions are massive as well, as I'm sure you can appreciate. And that was obviously the sort of turning point for, you know, a few concerned people who then started to look at the supply chain, and they soon established that what was being labeled as halal in fact didn't conform to the standards of what halal prescribed.
Yeah.
So some of the concerns were non-Muslims actually doing the slaughter. There were blessed blades, so the blade had Bismillah, Allahu Akbar inscribed in it. There was mechanical slaughter taking place.
Yeah.
There was stunning of animals taking place. The correct number of veins were not being severed.
Yeah.
So there were huge issues that transpired, and it soon sort of transpired also that within the global supply chain, you know, there was meats that were being imported from the global supply chain, from mainland Europe, from Brazil, from all parts of the world. And this obviously posed a massive issue for, you know, today over 3 million Muslims who, you know, conform to a halal diet and would expect to eat halal food. But the supply chain was so diluted that halal was just a name that made money for many people. And food fraud was very much at large at that time. So the organization commenced by implementing a system whereby they could instill confidence ultimately into our purchases, you know, our families, our mothers, our fathers and our children, so that, you know, from the point of slaughter right the way through to when you and I would ultimately go and purchase the products, there's a chain of custody, there's traceability, and to date HMC implement close to 20,000 hours each month to ensure that the meat products that are being processed actually conforms to the HMC's halal standard, and hopefully we can happy to discuss that with you a little further
inshallah. I think we've all been there and we've all heard about things, you know, to do with, there's lots of places that are labelled as halal and they're not, or we've kind of grown up with this sort of practice where it's just say bismillah and it's fine, and you know, misconceptions about the fact that we live in the UK and we think of it as a predominantly Christian country, and so it becomes Ahl Kitab and so it's okay to then eat the food from Ahl Kitab, these sorts of misconceptions that sort of happen. And I think that, you know, certainly within my lifetime, you know, back in the 80s, early 90s, which is a long time ago, but there was that practice, and perhaps as a Muslim community we were a little bit naive in terms of where our food comes from and what happens behind the scenes, and we were just quite comfortable with just consuming and not asking questions. So have you found in the time that you've been working with HMC and working within the industry that we are starting to shift perhaps from just, you know, blissful ignorance and just consuming things to perhaps educating ourselves and asking more questions maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, prior to 2003, and even today, you know, there is still a lot of naivety that exists within, you know, within the community, because they don't have a true understanding of the supply chain.
Yes.
I mean, if I take my HMC hat off for a second and take my sort of knowledge away from me for a moment, the naivety for me would 110% be there, because I don't understand the supply chain.
Yes.
I can't visualize it. I have no understanding of it. And the only aspect of halal that I understand is the symbol that I see on a shop window, or a symbol that I see at the back of a pack, for example. And for me, as far as I'm concerned, that would be good enough for me to purchase. But I think, alhamdulillah, with the grace of God, in terms of HMC, it's sort of opened the closed doors to the supply chain, so it has that visibility, it has that knowledge, it has those expertise to actually implement a robust system that allows the consumer to not have to ultimately go through a whole research process. You know, HMC is doing that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, it's a bit like the Financial Services Authority. I don't know what they're called now. You know, there's so many regulatory organizations that exist that regulate specific industries. So you've got Ofcom, you've got Ofgem, you've got the Advertising Agency. So there's so many agencies out there, and they're pure. You know, they have the expertise to know what's right, what conforms and what doesn't conform.
Yes.
And that's where HMC actually comes in to this whole jigsaw, ultimately, is to put the pieces together and to allow the consumers to look at the HMC certification mark on the shop window, on packs, and allow them to buy with confidence. Because I think, you know, even from my perspective, having done work this for over a decade, and other colleagues having done this for more than that, alhamdulillah, I think it's a learning curve every day. You know, we learn new things every day. So the new phenomenon in the poultry industry is that we now understand that a lot of chickens that are labeled as being halal are actually gassed to death, unfortunately, which does not conform to the standard of halal.
No,
yet it sort of comes in labeled with a halal sticker, and is being probably consumed by Muslims as we speak without their knowledge.
These are the
sorts of concerns that exist. I mean, if you go back to the supply chain, if you log on to our website, I mean, we just did a press release maybe a couple of months ago, talking about food fraud, and I think there was approximately 20 to 25 incidents, independent incidents, that took place in the halal food sector where food fraud had been highlighted by the media.
Yeah.
And this is the mainstream media talking to the Muslim community and saying, guys, you need to wake up, because there's something not right here. But this is the reason why HMC has implemented a robust system so that we as consumers can buy with confidence, inshallah.
Inshallah. Obviously the meat industry is massive, and
absolutely
we don't have enough hours on this show to talk about the meat industry as a whole, but within the meat industry, of course, there's the halal meat industry in particular. I think we all know that we love our meat as a community. Can you tell us maybe a little bit more about our preferences and our spending habits, and as a Muslim community, what do we prefer? How do we compare perhaps to the non-Muslim community, for example, in terms of consuming meat and things
like absolutely.
That?
So I think it's a really good question. That I think there was a piece of research done a couple of years ago, and the research stipulated that the Muslim community make up 3% of the population of the United Kingdom, but it consumes close to 21 or 24% of local meat and poultry produce.
Wow.
So ultimately, what that's basically saying is that as a Muslim, you know, we would eat 8 to 9 times more than our English counterpart on a, you know, whatever periodic basis you want to measure it by.
Wow.
So we're a huge market in terms of our purchasing and our behaviors.
Yeah.
We love poultry, so chicken is the biggest protein that we consume, the meat type that we consume. And even if you look at our social activities, so, you know, in terms of the days of, you know, you may have eaten out once a month, for example.
Yes.
I know as a child growing up, for example, you know, you know, eating out was a
luxury,
absolute luxury. Whereas today it's become, you know, you can, you know, there are some days where you can literally have breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Out with, you know, with a friend, with a wife, and then with your extended family in the evening.
Yes.
So in terms of our eating habits, they've dramatically changed as well, which has ultimately driven the industry to, you know, find ways and means to provide and source the meat at a rate that we want to pay, ultimately.
So we eat more meat, and then on top of that, we go out a lot.
Absolutely.
And that just multiplies.
So our biggest vice, I would say, is eating out is our biggest vice today.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
I've got a question.
Yeah, of course.
In regards to, because you mentioned that there's a lot of fraudulent activity going on within the...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But we as Muslims, it is a difficult thing, like when you see halal written on a, you know, on any shop, any sort of takeaway shop, you walk in, you sort of just see the halal sign and you're like, okay, cool, it's halal. How it's very difficult to know nowadays what is and what isn't. So what advice would you get, other than, I know you've got the HMC banners, but what advice would you give to people who walk in, they see halal, they ask the guy, he says it's halal. What advice would you give to people to go further or to do more research? Because obviously HMC certify, but there are other certifiers as well that are perfectly fine as well.
Yeah, sure. So just I think it's very, very, I think from HMC's perspective, HMC is a choice.
Yeah.
The same way that, you know, every individual has a choice to do as they wish in their life. So HMC has seen concerns in the halal supply chain that ultimately does not allow the Muslim community to conform to a massive requirement which is prescribed by God. And it's taken a huge responsibility on its own shoulders to actually go out there to inspect and to monitor and to check the supply chain in real time, and that ultimately instills confidence into the consumers, and that's HMC's sole purpose. However, just because somebody is not HMC certified, we would not say don't go there because it's bad for you, it's wrong. That's something that we would never encourage. That's something that we have never said either. But in terms of the supply chain, again, I'm going to put my HMC hat on and my knowledge back on for a second. And if you look at the supply chain, so a lot of this meat will be coming in from Poland. A lot of this meat will be coming in from Slovakia. A lot of this meat will be coming in from Holland. A lot of this meat will be coming in from Brazil. A lot of this meat will be coming in from Argentina. A lot of this meat will be coming in from Denmark, Belgium. I mean, the list could go on. And my question is that in today's day and age, with all the food fraud that has been reported by in the independent media, not by HMC, by the independent media. With all of this in mind, the question that I would probably ask that butcher is, or that particular restaurant is, just as a question, you know, where did it come from? You know, at the least, with the knowledge of knowing that there are concerns in the supply chain, at the least we should be concerned as a community, okay, where is it actually coming from? Who actually saw that the product does conform to the standard of what is prescribed as being halal zabiha? Was it done correctly? You know, was there any cross-contamination of pork at all, as we have found? So I'll go back to 2013, where children across the whole country, in different boroughs of London, in Leicester, in Birmingham, in Lancashire, in a lot of parts of the country, where innocent children, Muslim children, as part of their school meals, were fed lamb burgers that contained 50% pork in there. A lot of this meat was coming in from God knows where. So these innocent children were fed contaminated meat on the basis of being told to have their lunch by a school teacher, not knowing what was in there.
Or I mean, being told that it's
who were told that verbally it was halal. That this is halal. What you need
that's
to eat.
And that's the issue with just being told that
correct.
It's halal.
And these are the concerns, because if there were no concerns, then, you know, in an ideal world, an organization like HMC and the aid charities that we have working tirelessly, all of the organizations that provide public benefit shouldn't really need to be here, because the world would be an ideal place and everything would be fantastic and everything would work like clockwork. But that's not life, unfortunately. Life doesn't work like that.
No. You actually mentioned earlier that they were injecting enzymes, right?
Yes.
Pork enzymes into the meat.
Yes.
What benefit is that to...
So
why, like, you've got the meat, why inject something into it?
So what was happening was that the water would not retain inside the meat without the enzymes being there.
Right, okay.
So the enzymes act as a stabilizer for the water to remain inside the meat.
Okay.
So as soon as you go home and you wash that meat, you know, the chicken would go from looking like a plump chicken to something which was absolutely half its size, probably. So ultimately, that's food fraud in the name of halal.
Yes.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, I think it's a choice, and I think it's important that HMC is very clear on that. But ultimately, if you look at what's happening out there, there are huge concerns, and I would urge every listener, every person, to do their own research. And I think with the vast amount of information that's out there on the internet today, you know, you just got to type a few words in and you'll have a huge, massive list of information that you can actually make informed decisions from. And if anybody, you know, any listener wants to know more about HMC, then they're more than welcome to pick up their phones, ring a member of the HMC team at our head office, and they'll be more than happy to help them. They can email us, and if they want to come and see us, you know, we'd be more than happy to see them. Even if they wanted to come and see how HMC work, if you look at our social media platforms, alhamdulillah, Hassan's been doing a fantastic job by actually showing members of the public and taking them around to our retail butchers, to our restaurants, to show them exactly how it is that HMC operate and how does HMC actually spend these 20,000 hours each month to vet the supply chain in real time.
Brilliant. So there's going to be a lot of people out there, and we're talking 99% of the population will never get the opportunity to visit a slaughterhouse.
Excuse me.
Obviously, you've been to many in your time. In a brief, you know, in sort of simplistic way, can you run us through a typical production line, say, for chickens?
Okay, so in terms of chickens, so the chickens would come on a conveyor.
It doesn't have to be halal. So the vast majority of
the whole of
chicken slaughterhouses, they tend to be a certain way.
Correct.
Could you describe that process and perhaps what the particular issue is within that that needs to be removed in order to receive certification, for example?
So from HMC's perspective, we don't work in any sites that process pork, so we wouldn't work in such sites. We don't work in such sites that have a gas chamber where animals are gassed to death, unfortunately. Yep. So we wouldn't work in such sites. We don't work in sites that have a mechanical slaughter either. So we don't work in any of these sites.
Yeah.
Every site that HMC operate at would have a HMC trained inspector on site to oversee the end-to-end process.
Yes.
And they would ultimately vet that supply chain in real time. So if the HMC standard is not being conformed to in that moment, then that particular product is not certified. So if you go to your local butcher, a HMC certified butcher, again, if you log on to our website, you can find your closest HMC certified butcher. If you go along and ask them for a chicken, every chicken will have a sticker on there. It's a sticker with a unique number, and that number is HMC's traceability ultimately. So we can go back through the whole supply chain to tell you exactly when that sticker was dispatched from our offices, who it went to, when it was used, which site it was used at, on what date the slaughter took place. So ultimately we have our own independent traceability, which is real time. So we use an application which all of our employees have. And all of our business processes, the way that HMC operate, has been implemented on this application, and it's a wonderful piece of technology that allows our monitors to actually work real time. So all of our audits that we do is real time. Any non-conformities, they're dealt with in real time. So it's not as though that we would find out about it 6 months later, and then somebody's bought it, consumed it, and it's enter the supply chain. Because we have our personnel on site, they are there to ultimately vet in real time.
Okay, so you mentioned two things there. You mentioned stunning and you mentioned mechanical slaughter.
Yeah.
put aside mechanical slaughter for a second, sure. We talk about a typical production line for chicken that has stunning, in particular perhaps water bath stunning, which is the most common perhaps, sure. method.
Yeah.
Moment the chicken comes in, you know, offloaded from a truck, can you run us through the process briefly?
So the animal would enter the abattoir. It would then be shackled. If it was being stunned, then its head would be dipped in a tank full of water, which would have a live current running through it. And in some instances, the bird may die as a result of the current passing through its body.
And what's the purpose of stunning a chicken?
The purpose of stunning the chicken is to immobilize it.
Yes.
Ultimately, and so that you have more, you can run the line faster. So it's about time is equal to money. If yes. you can do, if you can process one item in an hour, but you find a method to do it, so do two in an hour.
Yes.
Then you obviously become 50%.
So it's purely
efficient.
Business and so it's about purely increasing
efficiency.
Production.
So it's purely about efficiency.
Yeah.
In terms of why. You know, why these methodologies are implemented.
Yeah.
From a HMC's perspective, we have stayed away from all aspects of stunning purely yeah. because of the risk that it brings to the whole entire process.
Yes.
And if communities, if members of the community even, sorry, are going to look at the HMC certification mark and buy as a result of that,
yeah.
then we as a responsible agency, certification agency, need to be acting responsibly to ensure that we've done as much as we can to ensure compliance to the whole halal ethos, alhamdulillah. And that's the reason why HMC has simply stayed away from it.
Okay, and so you mentioned stunning there. There's a major risk with water bath stunning or other types of stunning that the animal will die as a result. So
may
before
die,
it that may occur, before they arrive at the slaughterman, that animal is already dead.
Correct.
And from an Islamic perspective, we can't eat carrion, which is an animal which has already died as a result of a blow or a heart attack or whatever it is.
Correct.
So even if it reaches the slaughterman and he slaughters it in a halal way, it's a Muslim, it's a sharp knife, he says the things that he's supposed to say, the animal was already dead and it's null and void at that point, isn't it? So that the meat itself is not halal. And that can happen up to what sort of percentage are we talking about in terms of animals dying
well,
as a result?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of, you know, many a year ago, I mean, this is a very old statistic and
yeah.
I'm quite happy to go back and feed you this information at a later date, but
yeah.
the old statistic from DEFRA was approximately a third of chickens die as a result of the stun. It's a very old statistic.
Yeah.
I mean, technology's moved on. But in terms of, you know, there are still risks.
Yes.
That are, you know, I mean, when the birds arrive, you know, they travel, you know, up to 2 hours from the farm to the actual destination, for example, in some instances.
Yeah.
You know, they have high levels of stress that has been ordained upon them because of the travel.
Okay, it's not easy, basically, on the bird. Okay.
And the different sizes of birds that enter the supply chain as well.
Yes. Okay, so great. So we have a caller on line two. Saikum? How are you, brother? You all right?
Alhamdulillah. You're doing a good job, and I would just like to make a supportive comment that SMC are doing a great job, and as Muslim community, we have actually failed our faith, and we don't support the charitable causes and the important agencies like HMC. We should be supporting them. They should be strong. They should be able to fight if there is any violation of regulation. They should be able to go to court and so on. But the problem is that sectarianism is so rife in our community, and especially in this country. Every imam in the mosque is a head of his own sect or faith. And there is no check, and you know, nobody's following. People are following, but it has become a business.
It has. Brother, sorry to interrupt you. We're just about to go onto an ad break, and I can't really control that. It's an automatic advertisement.
Sure.
So if you can stay on the line if you like for a few minutes and come back on, or we can end the call here. It's up to you.
Okay. I'll come back after the.
Inshallah, we'll be back on after these short messages. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum everyone, you're listening to The Evolve Show, and we're talking about everything halal related in the food industry, and we're joined by a couple of guests from HMC, from the Halal Monitoring Committee. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
So we've got so much to talk about that we were going to finish just before those ad breaks at 7 o'clock, but we've decided to sort of run on a little bit longer because it's such a big topic. And we had a caller just before we went off to the ad break. Caller, are you still there?
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Yeah, I was making the point that we have to support any flag bearers who are protecting the essential Islamic duties.
Yes.
It's a fardhi kifaya. The thing is, if anybody is taking is a flag bearer for halal zabiha, then we have a religious duty, because our leadership has failed us.
Yes.
We have a duty to protect and support them, and give them authority and give them mandate. Give them full, wholehearted support. And I know Unity FM has to be careful, because of business ethics. But the thing is, such agencies as HMC, or yesterday, I think, on Saturday last, there was a program about RSC, relationships and sex education. So anybody who's doing the essential duty to keep our faith essentials sort of protected, then we have to support them, because if we don't support them, who's going to support them? Our next generations are we are failing everybody. Our leadership is failing our community, and if we don't do our essential duty, then on the day of judgment we will have some really, really tough questions to answer, and we will have difficult time. So please keep up the good job, and I request and ask all the Muslims, whoever is listening, support HMC please, and make them as a strong body. Jazakumullah khair.
Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the try.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, mashallah, good caller, and he raised some interesting points in that we need to be proactive in our approach. What do you think of his comments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, look, in every aspect of our life, when we're looking to buy a car, for example, we will get a HPI check, we'll pay 50, 60 pounds for it. We might even get the AA to come out to do a check on it.
Yes.
We do so much due diligence and research. I mean, I know some friends and colleagues who will, before they even go to a restaurant, will spend hours on ends or minutes on ends to seek reviews to see whether the food that they're serving is actually good and what star rating do they have. So we do
and
so
yet
much
they won't do the same and to yet find they won't out if it's halal or
and
not.
And yet we say, well, just because it's got a sticker on it, we're quite happy to buy it.
Yeah.
So I think you know, it's a responsibility on all of us. We have the ability to do the due diligence because we do it for so many aspects of our lives. And I think that the most important one, quite biased for me to say this because I come from a sector that deals with halal food, but in terms of, for me, it's like even before you put money into you put your hand in your pocket to give to charity, you actually put your hand in your mouth to feed yourself so that you can get the money to give it to charity.
Yeah.
So I think it's such a huge responsibility that we have to ensure that what we nourish ourselves with is actually genuinely halal.
Yeah.
And I think the concerns don't just sort of stop with the meat. I mean, you know, you've got concerns of e-numbers, you've got concerns around ingredients, you've got concerns around ingredients which are contaminated with pork that contain alcohol. So there's a whole host of concerns where, you know, there are ways and means that you can actually find out as to what is legitimately above board for one to consume. So, you know, my advice is that, you know, if we've got time to do due diligence around trivial matters, then we should all take a massive responsibility to investigate the things that are very much important to us. Inshallah.
I think it's very well put, very, very eloquently put, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
You briefly touched upon the certification process for HMC.
Yeah.
Obviously, HMC, they tend to certify restaurants. They can certify butchers. There's different sort of areas that HMC work with. Can you run us through the process for perhaps, shall we say, butchers in this instance? Actually, let's say restaurants. So a restaurant... they want to serve halal food, they want to be certified. What do they do from there, and then how does it normally work?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the first instance, they would need to obviously apply to HMC. So they can do that via the HMC's website.
Yes.
They would apply. That allows us to obviously understand who they are, where they're based. A local HMC representative would then go out to visit them to go through a welcome pack to make them understand what their responsibilities are, you know, where they can buy the HMC certified products from, and literally to give them an understanding of what HMC's expectations are. And if they have any questions, then they're more than welcome to, you know, pose those questions.
Yeah.
If they are happy with to proceed, we would then issue a certificate after a pre-monitoring stage, so that we would audit their site for a minimum period of 2 weeks, and that allows us to understand where the HMC certified supply chain is coming from. We can quantify it, and from there we would then issue a certificate.
In order for them to qualify for that, I'm assuming that all the meat that they
correct.
Have
so,
needs
so
to be HMC, right?
Absolutely. So all the meat that they would sell would have to be from a HMC certified source.
Okay. So if they're not, they need to try and rejig their source of, you know, their supplier and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole supply chain would just need to be mapped out again, so that and again we would help them to find those supply chains so that, you know, it becomes more of an easier task for them to migrate from one supply chain to another.
Okay.
And then we would visit, once they're certified, we would then visit their store a minimum of 4 times a week on a random basis to check that they're only selling HMC certified products.
So surprise inspections.
4 times a week?
Yeah, 4 times a week. Yeah. So we make... So
how do you manage to do that with so many... like how many people are working
so
for you guys to be able to do 4 times a week?
Absolutely. I mean, by the grace of God, we have approximately 227 people that now work for HMC across the country.
Mashallah.
We spend close to, like I said, I mean, I keep flying this stats around, but we spend close to 20,000 hours each month in the halal supply chain, regulating and making sure that things are being done in a manner that they should be.
Yeah.
And if we find any non-conformities, then we obviously deal with that in real time. I think last month across the country we made close to 16,000 visits to retail stores across the country.
Incredible.
No other organization does this. I mean, I think
come
if,
close
you,
to this,
if you put this into context, that people We actually have more data on HMC certified stores than the local authority does on the whole of Birmingham.
Wow.
So when we sit with the Food Standards Agency, you know, they want us to implement their system as part of ours as well. Because, you know,
you've got so many people on the ground.
Because we've got so many people on the ground, they're saying, well, you know, if you're doing this, can you help us with this? And that's not our mandate. Our mandate is, you know, we can't take responsibility. We just about fulfill our responsibility, let alone taking on somebody else's.
Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, I think you know, the visit, you know, when you put the HMC operation into metrics and you start to measure, you know, what HMC actually does, it's quite mind boggling. To be fair, and the sorts of information we collect, the sorts of systems that we have, the technologies that we actually use. I mean, for example, we had a question that somebody asked us maybe a couple of months ago to say, well, you know, if you know, somebody could be sat at home and just ticking away on their phone and saying that they're actually you know, they made a visit. And, you know, alhamdulillah, the technology that we use, you know, every employee is geolocated, so they can't sit at home and just tick away, you know, you know exactly where they are, on which route, etc., etc. So the technology that we've invested in has allowed us to, again, we've had to invest heavily into technology so that we can instill further confidences into the consumer. And we will continue, inshallah, to make those investments and continue to implement best practice and continue to implement robust systems so that we can assure the community that what they are consuming is halal. And I think personally for me, it's not about the current generation, it's the generations to come. Because, you know, we've all made those informed decisions and we will continue to make those informed decisions. But if halal food is taken away from us, as in some countries, for example, recently in Belgium, halal was banned. So they can no longer practice or consume halal foods. In Denmark, it's the same. In Holland, it's the same. In Belgium, as we've seen recently, it's the same. And I think, you know, as a community, we really need to wake up and support ourselves to support the next generations to come. Because if we don't actually wake up to the fact that things are changing very quickly, within the supply chain, within Europe, with Brexit around the corner. I mean, there's so many things happening that we really need to wake up and support as the caller said, you know, not just HMC, but there's many charitable organizations that are out there today who are doing fantastic work. And as a community, we really need to get behind each one and support them in whichever way, even if it's just a dua, that we don't have the means to give money to them. But if it's a short dua that we can make for them, I'm sure that they would take that with open arms, inshallah.
Sure.
But I think especially, as I said before, even before we put our hands in our pockets to give charity to organizations, we actually we nourish ourselves with food to be able to go out to work or to educate ourselves, to be able to get that income that we're looking for, to be able to give that charity. And it all comes down to the sustenance of food, ultimately. So I think it has a huge impact which we don't really put into context.
Just out of interest, how many places do you guys certify now?
So alhamdulillah, we certify approximately, in terms of retail stores, we certify just under 900 stores across the country, and we work in over 90 odd production sites across the country as well. So alhamdulillah, I think it's a great choice. I mean, you can now find, you know, HMC certified products across the globe. So, you know, I was in Paris recently, so I saw HMC certified products there. I was in Dubai last year and I saw HMC certified products there. So it's quite, you know, when you see this in you know, outside of Leicester, for example, or outside of Birmingham, and you see these products actually ending up in markets that where HMC doesn't even exist, it's quite amazing.
Sure, it's not just a sticker.
Sorry?
Sure, it's not just a sticker.
To be fair, it's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Yeah. And I'm sure people.
Well, they could absolutely. Yeah. But I think in terms of that's the reason why we've implemented the technology, whereby inshallah in the coming months, we are developing an app where you can actually go into your local butcher, you can scan the product, and it will tell you the same information that we would get as HMC.
Wow.
You would get the same
That's
information.
Smart. Yeah.
So we want to put halal at your fingertips. You know, we want to empower the community to become advocates and to take that responsibility. The same way we would do a HPI check on a car, we want you to do HPI checks on chickens, inshallah.
Yeah, brilliant. So you were explaining the process before of restaurants and places that, you know, want certification. So they get in contact with HMC, you send somebody out, you have a pre-inspection. If they don't currently use HMC certified raw meat, then obviously you'd help them sort of change their process whereby they have that in place. And then, okay, so now they're bringing in all the meat and it's HMC certified. What next? You mentioned the random inspections around four times per week.
Correct.
And then what's the next stage?
So again, we would visit them four times a week.
Yeah.
And if we find any non-conformities, it could lead to removal of certification. It could lead to a warning. It could lead to, you know, it depends on the severity of the incident of what happens, for example. But so that's how we obviously operate. We issue a certificate.
Yes.
And that certificate has 12 circles on there.
Yes.
And for each month we would issue a sticker, and again it's a unique number which is printed onto that sticker, and again we're able to tell you exactly who that sticker belongs to in terms of which particular store.
Okay, so I've been into HMC certified places. You're talking about that big sort of around A3 sized white poster that's in there, that's normally in a frame of some
Correct.
Sort.
Yeah, that's
and
the
it's
one.
Got the HMC logo on there.
Correct.
And it's got those circles that you mentioned, each one representing a month.
Correct.
And you can see that the last month in which it's been stamped or inspected or
Correct.
or approved.
Correct.
I think that certificate, it's normally on display, but not in all places. I think the one that perhaps people are even more familiar with is the bright yellow and red one
on the front. Yeah, so
that's something for people to look out for, right?
No, absolutely. So, I mean, I think the three main things to look out for when you are looking for a HMC certified shop is the yellow window sticker.
Yes.
The certificate inside of the shop.
Okay.
And you can actually find a listing of all of the HMC certified stores on our website.
Yes.
So if you log on to www.halalhmc.org, you'd be able to find your local, your closest HMC certified shop.
Okay.
And those are the three checks, ultimately.
And obviously, if for whatever reason a place was certified and then they did something which made HMC decide to remove their certification or cancel their certification, then those items that you just mentioned, those three items, wouldn't be there.
Correct. So they would be removed and they would no longer be associated to HMC.
Okay. If you were to find a restaurant or something that does not have the yellow HMC poster on the front, and you can't see that white one with the stamps, and you can't see it on the website, but it does say on a piece of paper HMC, could be with a felt tip or something that somebody's printed or something, is that good enough?
No, that's obviously not good enough. And I think what makes HMC unique is the monitoring, is the inspection. You know, that's the bit that leads HMC above the rest, if that makes any sense. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So I think many people claim to be HMC certified.
Yes.
And even on our website, I mean, Hassan can give you a bit of information about those organisations that misuse the HMC logo. So he can give you a little bit of information.
In terms of outlets that misuse the logo, we often get on social media, we get people coming in, sending messages, sending pictures of people abusing the logo. It might be on the shop window, it might be inside, it might be on the leaflet.
Yeah.
It might be on their social media page. And then what we then would do is send out a letter just to kindly, politely ask them to pretty much remove it, because it is an infringement of our intellectual property, of our logo.
Yes.
And if they don't do that, we then put it on social media and let people know, let the public know that this particular outlet is actually abusing the logo.
Yeah.
They're not actually certified.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important that the public understand that we don't want to misinform. We don't want to make them feel like they go into a place, they're genuinely satisfied as HMC, but they find out it's actually not.
Yes.
It wouldn't make them feel right. I personally wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't want the same for them. So ultimately, it's about making sure, you know, we're not trying to shame them. We've given them plenty of chances to remove that. And if they don't, we then basically put it on social media and let people know, just try to avoid this place if you're going on the basis of it being certified.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So it's a responsibility. It's yeah. Like you said, it's not about shaming people. It's about just letting people know, look, these guys, you know, they're claiming to be something that they're not. And it's your responsibility to let people know about that, so they're not consuming something that they perhaps wouldn't want to.
Absolutely. And I think it's about transparency.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody has, the large conglomerates, the large brands that you find today.
Yeah.
The brands that you see today. I mean, they spend the amount of money that they spend on protecting their intellectual property.
Yes.
With people actually copying their brand. And creating cheap knockoffs, for example.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as a charitable organization, a registered charity, we don't have the means, we don't have the resources to tackle, infringements in the ways that these larger conglomerates would, for example.
Yeah.
And as Hassan said, we have a responsibility to tell the consumers that this is what's happening. Now, some people have taken offense to that. Some people have been quite pleased with the fact that we've informed the community that this is what's basically happening as well.
I think something obviously to do is because you guys can't exactly, like, for example, if I opened up a restaurant tomorrow, just put up a HFA and I got the letters through, it would be worth following your social media pages to find that out, because if for example I walked in there but I don't follow you guys, even if you put it up on social media, how else am I meant to find out that that is actually not legitimately giving the, they've got your logo up, it all looks fine, they tell me that. So it is probably worth following you guys on all the social media platforms.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
We don't necessarily put every single shop on the actual social media page, so we do give them time to reply. But on the actual website, if you go onto our website, on the homepage it says the shops that are violating the HMC logo in the previous 6 months. And if you click that, it will come up with all the list across nationwide of all the shops that have abused the logo. And ultimately, we're not... You see, the thing is that there's a flip side to that as well, and it's amazing when we actually see shops which have plastered HMC all over it. You'll drive past and you'll see HMC on the shop sign, and you'll see in banners at Sahabia HMC, and it's so proud to see that they actually do believe in what we're doing. Those that are certified, alhamdulillah.
But it also goes the other way, doesn't it, in that there's lots of places that have the posters and banners and things and they're not really HMC certified, so I think that what's happening is that outlets or restaurants are realizing that the community hold HMC quite highly in their eyes, mashallah. They know that it's definitely a plus point and a selling point for their restaurant to be HMC certified, but they haven't gone down the legitimate route of actually becoming certified, so they're just pretending. And it's really, really important to keep pushing those three things. And I'm certainly in that habit myself. I look for the yellow poster on the front. There's a certain quality and the way that yellow poster is printed. Again, I've seen knockoffs of that small yellow poster that's on the front, but you can tell a real HMC poster from a fake one. I often ask, normally that's the first thing that I do. My second thing that I do is that I search and I check on the website. And I don't always look for the annual poster, because some restaurants, they just keep it in the back, for example.
Yeah, some display, some don't.
But it
is on site, so it must be kept on site, so that if a consumer does ask for it, they can simply take it out and say, look,
the poster on the front, and I double check on the website just in case.
Yeah, I mean, the website's always in real time anyway.
Yes.
So it'll always be, if you see it on the website, it's definitely certified.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that you can pop in your postcode and you can specify whether you're looking for a restaurant or whether you're looking for a butcher,
absolutely.
And then it will tell you in proximity order how close your nearest place is.
I think we've tried to we analysed the behaviour on our old website.
Yeah,
and we saw that there was a lot of behaviour of people coming on searching for the nearest outlet. So we try to minimize the steps as much as possible.
Yes.
If somebody comes on, you click the first button that is flashing, yes, find your nearest outlet. You'll click it based on your geolocation, it will find all your nearest certified stores.
Yeah.
And we've kept it as simple as possible, really. And you can actually, there's a facility now where you can actually search by your shop name, by the shop name as well.
Okay.
So if you don't, if you're traveling out of town with a bunch of friends or family or whatever, yeah, you can search by shop name to find out whether it is genuinely HMC certified.
That's good.
So yeah, it's easy, it's accessible, yeah, it's at the click of a button. And we do have plans to create an app, a mobile app based on that same function as well, inshallah.
Brilliant.
So here's a sort of another question for you guys. Obviously we have HMC here, which is, you know, fantastic, you know, you're going around the different restaurants, but what's your advice for people that, for example, go abroad and, you know, you've sort of, okay, we probably know in the Middle East that pretty much everything would sort of be halal, but is it? You know, because the mentality is, when we go to Middle Eastern countries, you automatically assume wherever I go, whatever I eat, it's 100% halal, because why would they do otherwise? So what's your advice there?
You know, without somebody getting a knife and putting it to my neck, I guess. But in terms of, I think in terms of, HMC has a responsibility for the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very clear. You know, for example, if somebody says, well, I'm going traveling to Malaysia, or I'm traveling to Indonesia, I don't know, what should I do? And I think, well, you know, you'll need to do your own research when you're actually traveling in those particular countries. And I think the point is that, you know, if you're traveling for a week, do you really need to eat meat that desperately, for example?
The answer is yes.
I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I'm saying that the alternative isn't just, you know, I have to eat meat, and if I don't, then the holiday was absolutely
terrible.
Yeah. That's not the case. Absolutely, you know, I'm sure you'd want to eat, you know, you'd want to eat meat, and because you're accustomed to that. But again, for traveling, you'd need to do your own research.
It's just, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't know anymore.
I think like what you could do, you could ring the HMC and pose the question to them and say, this is where my travel plans are, and is there any advice that you could give? And there may be certain places that we could say, well, yep, there's, you know, look out for this when you're traveling to different other parts of the country. You can, you know, we may be able to give you some advice, or we may not be able to give you some advice. But ultimately, the responsibility of consuming genuine halal lies with each and every one of us.
Yes.
You know, HMC is just a part of the jigsaw. But alhamdulillah, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure to have been here with the Unity FM, and jazakallah khair for having us here. And you know, I just ask the community, as the caller said, you know, please do support HMC and other charitable organizations that do a fantastic job on a day-to-day basis, that provide public benefit. You can follow us on our social media platforms, log on to the HMC's website to get more information, and just remember, food fraud is at large, and be careful and continue to support HMC, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Take care.
Wa alaikum salam.